just funny. That's all I had to say. So, talking about keys to unlocking the heart, Father, do it today and give us some tools, give us some keys to unlocking the heart in relationships. We thank you, God, for your presence, and we thank you, God, and we just open our hearts to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the series is on family. I want to talk about keys to unlocking the heart. And, you know, I said in the first sermon, and Nathan, how'd you guys like Nathan last week? Did he preach good? Did he do you good? That was awesome. It was a great job. And, you know, I said family is not man's invention, it's God's creation. So I want to take you there today and look at the creation story. I want to look at when, at first in creation, what is the earth going to look like? How about what did it look like before sin came in the picture? Have you ever wondered what it looks like in the future? What it looked like before sin entered? So I want to take you there where woman was created and some things that were spoken at that point, and then walk you through some things on relationship, and hopefully we walk away with some good practical things to set you up for the best Valentine you ever had. And you know, and for those of us who are single, not us, but those of you who are single in the room, this works with relationships with God first. All of us, we're in relationship with God first, and we have family in heaven, on earth. We have earthly family, and we have spiritual family, and these principles work. So let's use them. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one rib and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. He brought her to the man, and Adam said, so here's Adam. He says, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And then look at verse 24. Okay? Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And then verse 25, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Now, most people say, why'd you throw verse 25 in? Because if you get this sermon, you're going to like 25 if you learn 24. So I'm going to preach out of verse 24. I just threw in 25 there to keep the men happy and interested during the sermon. And if you're single, you got a little longer wait, but hey, it works. All right. And, you know, if we really did just have one key to unlock a heart, you'd be a millionaire. But there are principles that unlock the heart. And communication is one of them. How many of you know there's been so many books on communication, so many different ways on communication, good stuff that we need to learn in relationships. But today I kind of want to go back even before that, because I think sometimes our communication is not getting through. Have you ever like had a cell phone and you're talking to somebody and it's like, and you're talking and they can't hear you? Have you ever, the communication, it's like you're speaking but it's not getting through and you're just like, man. Have you ever been talking to someone and they're right there looking at you, but they wouldn't, I mean, it's like iron bars. They're not going to let whatever you're saying get in. Have you ever been that way yourself where it says, I don't care what you say or whatever happens, none of it's getting in here? Huh? Have you ever been in a conversation and somebody's talking to you and you're just looking at them going, yeah, right. Hello, I know we can shut people out and we can let people in. Can't we? Some people we need to keep shut out. You can just cruise down the streets and just find some crazy person and they're just going to say all kinds of random stuff. It's okay to just shut them out. But there's an inner circle with you and God that you can't shut people out. And if you're married today, you can't shut that person out. If you're in a family, you can't just... So there's different levels of intimacy in relationships, and we need to have wisdom and how to... And the key to unlocking the heart, let's look at some of it. So, our communication and our actions will unlock the heart. In this situation, God created Adam and Eve, the first family. In verse 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper that is comparable to him. Now, God made the man and all kinds of cool, fun stuff. How many of you guys like the outdoors? You like the great outdoors? Maybe like riding, like hiking, you know, climbing, like everything. You know, like, it's like, man, I love the outdoors. But it wasn't enough. God said, this is cool. All these animals are cool, and the outdoors are great, and all this stuff. Men, check in for a second. It wasn't enough. He He said it's not good that man's alone. He needs somebody that he can connect with. So he fashioned Eve from an intimate place. Now, in marriage, I've talked about this. Maybe you've heard this at marriages where he said God, you know, made the woman out of the side of man so that, you know, didn't make the woman out from under the feet so you're not supposed to step on her. Didn't make it from, you know, above, from the top of your scalp. She's not supposed to rule over you. There's a side-by-side covenant relationship that happens in a marriage. Are you guys tracking? You heard that before. Let's go a little farther, though. What part did he make her out of? The rib. Do you know that with the body's anatomy, do you know that the main function of the rib cage is to protect the heart? It's to protect the most inner, intimate parts of you. Interesting. And so God fashions Eve from this intimate place. And, you know, it's interesting. He didn't make her out of the hand or the arm. You know, like I said, you know, have you ever felt like somebody's like, talk to the hand, don't get close to me? Huh? Football today, Super Bowl, you're going to see people using their hands to get people away as they're running with the football. Huh? They grab people. You know, we use our hands to, but that isn't where he made her from, and we're not supposed to keep our spouses or our most intimate circle away like that. Are you here? It's from the rib, from the closest part to the heart. And so, I think there was something there that's trying to communicate to us that it's a place that's close to the heart, it's a place that's vulnerable, it's a place that, have you ever had a broken rib? It's painful if it's broken. I had a broken rib before, and, that rib was, it was broken. I broke it in the ring. I used to be a fighter. I was in the ring. I got a rib broken in the ring. But afterwards, trying to laugh about it, even laughing about the broken rib hurt, because I'm like, don't, I had a cough, and I'm like, every time I coughed, I'm like, oh, you know, you cough, feel like you're getting hit again in the ribs. Even to laugh, I'm like, don't tell a joke, because as you laugh, it's like painful. Are you here? But do you know that when you have a broken relationship, even laughing is not really all that good. It can be painful because you're laughing alone. Everything's painful. You break that thing that's supposed to be so intimate, and everything becomes painful. The simplest things are painful. And so there's something that God designed to be protected. And we need to get that if we don't realize that and protect that, then all of that comes out of our mouths, it's like we got to go back to the very beginning. Go right back to the very start. What did God do? He formed it. And I think it's a visual for us forever to realize we need to protect that, those intimate relationships. We need to protect family. We need to protect that connection. And those relationships are the most critical relationships. Thus, the key to unlocking the heart. Number one, how do we get locked out? Have you ever been locked out and you wonder how you got locked out? You ever locked yourself out of your own house? Get locked out of your car? Have to call the car people? Locked out of your office? Come on, have you ever been locked out? Have you ever locked somebody else out? Because you're going to make them pay? You will not come near me. I'll make you pay until you're satisfied. Just saying. So what happened in the garden? Genesis 3, verse 5. God knows in the day that you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. The devil's trying to convince a woman to sin. She already was made in the image of God. But she bit into the lie. No pun intended. And then she bit into the apple. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Then she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The eyes of both of them were open. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees. So here they, you know, how do we get locked out? We sin, and that's obvious. When we sin against God, in this case, they sinned against God. How many know in the story of the prodigal, when Jesus was telling the story of the prodigal, and he's saying, you know, I have sinned against heaven and against you, that when we sin, we actually sin against God first, and then we sin against people. But when we sin against God, we sin against God and others, we get locked out. We create different boundaries. And and some sins are obvious and some are not so obvious. Have you ever been in a relationship where suddenly you realized you weren't connected to the person's heart? You were locked out, kind of like away from them, and you thought you were a lot closer? And all of a sudden you realized you were not as close as you thought you were? Am I the only one? Sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not so obvious, but the minute that there's distance between you, then it becomes a little more obvious. So just note, if you're taking notes, distance is one of the signs of a heart that's locked up. Distance is a sign. We need to catch that. And so 1A, running is also a sign of heart problems. Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of God. When you see a friend at the grocery store and you hide yourself on aisle 6, that's a sign. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I know that person. Boom. Well, it could be a sign that you just didn't put your makeup on. That's cool. But I'm saying when it's relational, okay? It could be a sign that you just, like, are working out and sweaty and you don't want to hug somebody with that thing happening, guys. But I'm saying, like, you know, when it's relationally based, they hid. And so hiding, running is a sign of a heart problem. Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of God. They should be walking with God. Instead, they're hiding themselves from God. Adam and Eve had a heart condition. So yes, they had a sin problem, but they had a heart condition. They had a disconnected heart. In our relationships, we lock people out and we let people in. And as I started to say, you know, there's those levels of circles. You know, we had the privilege to be in a part of that Danny Silk's new book is awesome. And we had the privilege to be down there at the seminar, and he was talking about these circles and levels of people on Keep Your Love On. It's a definite read. Read it. It's really awesome. It's a powerful book. Keep Your Love On. And in Keep Your Love On, he was talking about different degrees of relationship. I thought was really pertinent. Today, he was talking about, like, you know how there's different circles and different levels. And so there's people that are in the very closest circle. Like God and me, that's the closest circle. My wife and I, that's like the closest circle. That if we ever find ourselves at a distance, if I'm ever avoiding her and moving away from her, I'm in trouble. If I'm avoiding God, moving away from God, that's the closest you're going to get. If you're single, God is with you. When you don't want to go to church, you don't want to read your Bible, you don't want to pray, you don't want to be with God. Can I just tell you the distance you're trying to create is a sign of your heart problem, not God's. Adam and Eve's thing wasn't about God, it was about them. So we need to get that. This is about me. And then in a relationship, when you find out that there's distance between you, it could be either of you, and it's probably both of you. So even if it's like 99% them and 1%, you deal with your 1%. But just saying, that's a whole other thing. So basically, there's circle levels. And then so besides just marriage, then this is my son. So he's in this circle, right? But then also my son got married, so now he stepped out of really close and he moved out into his own. He got married. Someday he'll have little bambinos of his own. And so he's still in our family, but now he's a man and he has his wife and he's got his own family. So there's a little bit more distance, and that's healthy that he wants a little distance from, you know, mom and dad. That's a healthy distance. So there's healthy distances and there's healthy borders, and there's some people that I love dearly and that, you know, I would give to them on the street and I would bless somebody and give them, you know, I would bless them and do things for them, but I probably wouldn't just give them a key to my house and say, anytime, refrigerator's open. Or you know what I mean? But my children can come in anytime. You're come on over, whatever we're having for dinner sometimes, they'll just say, what are we eating for dinner tonight? And I'm like, this is what we're eating. They're always welcome in my house. Are you here? So there's all kinds of borders, healthy ones, good ones. We have to set those up. And then besides family, then there's immediate family. Then there's distant. How many have the distant cousin you like to keep distant? We all have those too, you know? It's like you're a distant cousin, and we're glad you have distance because you're crazy. You don't get a key in my house. If we're going to meet, I hope the gathering is somewhere else, but whatever. We all have those. It's okay, you know, and there's different family. There's different circles. You're still in my circle, but you're a little farther out than these people. And then there's work acquaintances we have a little bit farther out. Huh? With work acquaintances, school, people, you know, you have friends and stuff. And then you have just acquaintances that know you. And you know, sometimes I see people in public, maybe it's at the bank, and you know someone from the bank. And that's cool. They're out here and they're acquaintances, but not quite as intimate as these relationships over here, right? And then there's those that you have no clue, and people know you because they've seen me on the internet because they were looking at something, or they've, you know what I mean? You, they know you somehow, and you don't know them. And so there's all these circles. And then there's those that are outside the circle that, you know, mass murderers. I don't want them in my circle. You know what I mean? So I'm going to keep them out of my circle. So if you had to say what's one thing all of us have in common is we all have, probably have a key in our pocket because we use it to get in our cars and get in our homes. And at nighttime, we lock the deadbolt. I lock the house, and I secure my family in to keep those mass murderers out of my house. And so it's okay that I created borders and I have keys, quality decisions that I've made to say those people cannot come in these doors. But if Taylor shows up, you're welcome anytime. That's what's for dinner. Come on over, buddy. He's my friend. He's my son. You know what I'm saying? So there's healthy borders that we have, and we create these relational boundaries. And are you tracking? And so there's keys to unlocking our heart. But I'm telling you right now, when we throw somebody that should be in a closer circle way out there, and there's no way for them to ever get back in, we need to recheck our hearts. Because didn't Joseph have some brothers that threw him in a pit? Didn't he go into a prison and into the dungeon and into all this stuff? But then he forgave him. He cried a little bit. He was a little mean to him at first, and he was thinking about maybe he'd have fun there. Come on, Joe. I was right there with you, you know. But you know, right there. But then he forgave them and said, I'm not going to do anything bad to you. And are you here? So there's plenty of biblical examples. Jesus was betrayed by Judas, but he still called him friend. We have biblical example and biblical precedent that we must love and forgive and allow people to have an access back into those circles. But that's based on the trust level they demonstrate in their life. They can take another step in. Are you here? So there's levels that we let people, but I'm talking about us, and all those are good. To qualify that, we have to realize when we are running, when we shouldn't be running, that maybe we have an issue to deal with. Mark 14:50. Then they all forsook him and they fled. Jesus' disciples fled from him. Now, when they fled from Jesus, it wasn't because they didn't love Jesus. It was because they were afraid. Because they were going to take him and crucify him, and they got afraid and they left. You know, sometimes fear causes people to run. I was with a guy, and these guys wanted to fight us, and he ran, and I had to fight him by myself before I was saved. I wasn't a Christian. I don't beat people up as a Christian. Hello. But, you know, I was in a bad spot, and he fled, and I was there. But I didn't fault him. He was afraid. Are you here? Fear causes people to run. Sin causes fear, which caused hiding for Adam and Eve to hide. But the cross brings perfect love to the scene, and perfect love casts out all fear. So we have to apply perfect love to fear to get rid of fear. Just saying. So people run. There's all kinds of ways people run. One way people run is they just stop talking. They're right there. They didn't flee anywhere, but they're not going to talk to you. Divorce is pretty much a huge running thing. That's obvious from a relationship. Avoiding people is a form of running. Maybe breaking fellowship with your church family. You know, you're just going to church hop or just disappear. I mean, all those are forms of running. You can probably figure that out. So let's talk about another way of running. 1B, runaway mouths are a sign of a heart problem. Genesis 3:12, the man said, God called him on it and said, okay, let's talk. And the man said, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. How many know Adam had a runaway mouth right there? Probably wasn't good to talk to God like that. I repent, I'm sorry, I sinned. Would have been appropriate. Instead of the woman, you gave her to me. Give me somebody different. And you're wondering why we have a gap, God? Sometimes that's where we need to, like, zip it, lock it, put it in our pocket. Blame game's not good. If you want to man up, you own it. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. There's a list right there of when we need to, like, zip it. And then verse 32, it says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Your mouth is a weapon. Use it correctly, it can protect. Use it incorrectly, it can hurt and destroy. Use it loosely, you will destroy bonds. And people say sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. They sing that song to these little kids. Don't do that to your kids. That will hurt them. Words hurt worse than any stick or stone. Don't do it. And when it's done, own it and get forgiveness. Next one, 1C, a lack of kindness is a sign of a heart problem. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving just as Christ forgave you. What's the opposite of tender? Come on, if you just cut into a steak and it's like nice, it's tender, right? Isn't that nice? What happens if it's not tender? What is it? It's tough. If you have one of those, remember when we were on that one vacation and we were in Palm Springs and they gave Zach that hamburger that was like a hockey puck? I mean, it was hard. It was so burned that he picked it up and hit the plate. It was like ping. It was black. It was so bad. That was so tough. It was like unedible. And, can I tell you this? Our hearts sometimes, our hearts can get hard, but they're supposed to be tender. So when our heart's hard, when we're tough hearted, we have a heart problem. And so then anytime we try to communicate when our heart is hard or tough, our communication is going to come out tough. So we have to make an adjustment because we're supposed to be tender-hearted. And I just want to speak to ladies for a second. Ladies, when it's not tender-hearted, can I just give you a little hint if we haven't told you this before? You guys can argue better than us. Okay? Ladies can get into it and boom, 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 and throw words, and it's like, you guys can just then just sit down and go, okay, we got it out. Let's have some tea. It's like, what? Men don't do that. Men are like two cavemen. They start going like you go. It gets about halfway up to where you can rev, and the men just go like the cartoons. Other caveman goes down. Men can only get so far, and then their brains just check out, and they can't breathe. And this is a fact. Men's heartbeat rises when they're in an argument and they can't handle it and something happens. They run, they flight, they shut up, they do something. But men can't argue as good as women. This is a real fact. I know I'm joking, but it's a fact. So you can't rev it up there. You got to keep those words kind of at a different tone if you want to get something good out of that encounter. Are you here? Okay? And guys, we need to catch this. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter towards them. If you lost that loving feeling, if you're not being kind to her, you know, the bigger issue isn't whether you want to engage in the argument so you can be right, because she'll probably whoop you in the argument anyway. Just saying. But whatever, you know, sometimes men's are factual, so you want to argue the facts, and she's really not about the facts at all. We really have to go back to the beginning of this and say, what's the real issue is that's a sign of a heart condition. So what was I saying? If it's not tender, it's what? When you feel like being tough, you need to deal with your heart issue. And I want to go in there and look at how God dealt with Adam before sin hit the table, because it'll help us to understand what God already set you up for a win before there was sin. Serious. So it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. When we're not tender-hearted, we need to get and give forgiveness. See, symptoms point to a solution, but we're sometimes all caught up in the symptom. You're sick? No, you're sick. No, you're sick. Let me tell you how sick you are. And that's really what it is. It becomes into this thing. And see, guys want to go after facts first, so we're going to say, you did this. We're taking issue with the issue, but that's not really the big issue. The big issue is are you going to, like, win the argument and push her out of your circle? And ladies, do you want to, like, win the argument but push him out of your circle? Then what did you accomplish? Now you're right alone. I know I'm right. And you're alone. How's that working? So number two, how do we unlock the heart? If we want quality relationships, we need quality connections. So this is what God said when they sinned. So here's what God said right after sin entered. okay? So you can see God's solution. I'm going to go here first after this. This was God's solution when there was a violation of that circle of trust, if we want to call it that, okay? So when there was a violation and they ran out from the presence of God, this is what God said. Our first thing probably would have been like, you know, what did you do? But here's what God said. The Lord God called to Adam and he said, "Where are you?" Did he say, "I got seven things to talk to you about. This is what you did. Da, 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 da." He said, "Where are you?" Then he went into the other part. God said, "Where are you?" And I just want to ask you, where are you? And when you get into a relational conflict, you need to ask yourself, where am I? Where is she? Where is he? How are you at maintaining quality family relationships, both spiritually and physically? First question is, where are you? Then, how are you? Then he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten? Then he asked the question, did you sin? Are you here? But where was the first question? What was the second question? I think if we did that, you'd be tons ahead, and you'd save yourself a lot of arguments. Because we have to pursue relationship. My point is real simple. We have to pursue relationship and make connecting with each other the first priority, not being right and not getting into something that we know we can stand on that thing and we can prove our point. So if we pursue strong connection, if connecting is the goal in our relationship, communication changes. It changes from "you did" to "I need you because I love you. I need you in my circle because it's changed right now. And right now, I need you back in here. And the only way we're going to get back in here is if we talk about this, what happened. Because I feel like that I feel like this has been violated and that we're not close." That's a lot different than, you know, "You stink at scumbag." Sorry. But you know what I mean? Right here. I mean, you just go straight at the throat of the thing of what you did. How about where are you? Because that's God's heart. God was a restorer, and we need to be restored. We need to be committed to restoration. God gave us a ministry of reconciliation. God gave it to us, and he said, now you're ambassadors. So we need to pursue strong connection. It has to be the goal of what we're trying to do. Unless the goal is just to keep people out of your circle, then when you're alone all by yourself and nobody loves you and you have a funeral that no one shows up to, then you succeeded and you won. That's fun. No. But if we pursue connection and we honor family and we make being connected part of our goal, it changes everything. So that changes the way. So the first part of this, the basic is that if the goal is to be in good, strong family connections, it changes the whole game plan. So 2A, connection has to be the goal of relationships. 2A, connection has to be the goal. We have to make that the win. What's a win? If we don't know what a win is, we don't know where we're going. If a guy doesn't know what a win is, you aren't going to get far. Ever taken him shopping and said, "We're just looking"? Doesn't work. And if you tell him a win is, if I find some of these blue shoes that match this dress, he's hunting for shoes. And you're overlooking at sweaters, you're going to frustrate the man. He's going to be like, "What are you doing?" That's just going to mean I'm going to have to hunt for another pair of shoes. Unless the sweater is the same blue, then I'll do it. Now we got two things that still, we got one thing left to do, and we accomplished two things. And we're are you here? But you have to have a clear goal of where you're going, or they don't know where to run the ball to. So you have to define a win. A win is being connected and loving and being together. If a win was being right, where would God and you be? How would that work with our lives all the time? If all he did was come down and say, "Let me tell you how you messed up today, how you messed up yesterday, how you messed up this morning, how you messed up 5 minutes ago." Instead of talking about how we can be connected through the blood of Jesus Christ and all your sins can be forgiven. I was such a fool. I tried to write down every sin I ever did when I got saved. I heard that thing. Oh, that messed me up. I sat there for hours, and I'm writing all these things, and I had to go, man, I'm from my house, and I stole food off this tree, and I did this, and I did that, and I stole from the store, and I did this thing, and oh, man, I remember we threw these plums at these people, and you know what I mean? That was bad, and you know, I was thinking, by the end of it, I walked away just the most horrible person on the planet, and I just thought I could never be saved. God doesn't just tell us our sins. God, he's about reconciliation. He's about forgiveness. So we have to be about what God's about. that God gave in the garden before sin entered. So if you want to know the way we should be after the cross, you should look at the way we were before sin entered. So here it is. Genesis 2:24. Therefore man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. God gave Adam that advice when he first introduced the man to the woman. If you want the best advice you can get, go back to what happened before sin entered. Take the advice. It still stands today. Leave your father and mother doesn't mean that you hate them. It just means that there's new boundaries. We talked about that. But there's a new focus, and that focus is that you cleave to your wife. That the Hebrew word cleave in this passage, it means to pursue with great energy. It means to catch by pursuit. It means, and I'm an avid hunter, so I'm thinking, boy, I like this. I do this all the time. I climb over mountains wild boar hunting. You know how tired we were? Come on, Luke. We were so tired. I worked the boy trying to get a wild boar, but he got a wild boar. But we worked hard for that. Well, you know, people go, marriage is hard. It's like, look how hard we hunted. Huh? How many of you have gone rock climbing? Is it easy? No, it's hard. That's the whole point. It's a pursuit, and you get into it because there's a pursuit. But you went rock climbing. It wasn't easy, but you had fun. So get it in your head. There's a pursuit, and you're going to pursue her, and you better make that pursuit to connect. You get it? God told him to pursue her with great energy. And most women, they already hunger for connection. It's usually the men, typically 80%. They're more into the connection than the men. We struggle more. That's why I'm saying men, but it's both sides, both men and women. We need to make that our goal. And when that pursuit, when that connection's the goal, our pursuit has to be a priority. It's a priority. You can't just shut them out of your heart, and connection has to be the goal. And you got to remember, God took her from the rib. You can't get a better picture of that. And so it changes things, because even on date night is not just what happens when you go home and the lights go out. Hello. Okay, that's important, guys. I know you're all smiling. It's important to me. No, but that's important, but that's not the goal. The goal is connecting. The whole time you're on date night, the whole time you're hanging out, that's the goal. And when you're connected, then it makes the rest and intimacy better because you were connected. Are you here? Shift the goal. The goal is the connection. The goal is, and if we keep talking, man, we're not going to have any time here tonight. What's wrong with you? Let's go home. You got the wrong goal. Make a different goal in your head. The goal is connection. We're just talking. We're just doing so much talking. Can we go for a walk? That's the goal. We didn't do 5 miles. It's like the goal is connecting. Whether you walk 1 mile, change the goal. Are you here? It's Super Bowl Sunday. Come on. Are you with me? When you get the goal and you know what the goal is, and then you can go after it, guys, and run with all your heart and say, it's connecting. If I accomplish that, then we did the right thing, and all the rest of it comes to pass. Remember I told you, you get verse 24, and then you can read 25. It's all good. If you get this, it's a game changer. See, walks on the beach become a quality discussion. And a lot of listening, it's good. See, the goal is relational connecting, and that intimacy is the byproduct of it. So if connection's the goal, the pursuit has to be a priority. And all your communication, connection has to be the priority, not winning. And to be, when connection is the goal, communication changes. I said that. When connection is the goal, communication changes. So our words change. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. It's only what's good for edification, that it may impart grace. Well, our words change when connecting is the goal. Our words change to be grace-filled words. Forgiveness is not an option. See, our words release power to heal and encourage, or power to tear down and discourage those we're in relationship with. Forgiveness is not an option. So when being connected is the goal, being right suddenly has a second place. So we need to settle it now. This is the most practical thing you could walk away with, that right is not all worth that much as it is being in a family and being connected with your spouse, with your friends, with your church. And sometimes we're wrong. Oh, painful that is. Sometimes we're wrong. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay that someone else got it right and you got it wrong. It's okay. God helps us. He gives us grace. So God doesn't look at us and say, oh my goodness, you're fired as my son because you're wrong. As long as we know, God, my goal was was to be close to you, and I was wrong, so please make it right, and the blood of Jesus is sufficient. And we get it right. And suddenly it changes relationships, and I'm telling you a key right now that if you just grab this key, it'll make a difference on all of the way that you do these things. Paul later quotes in Ephesians 5, he says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church." He said, "Love your wives as you love your own bodies. Whoever loves his wife loves himself." If we really are taking the advice of Genesis when he said, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh," if we really are embracing and saying we're one flesh, then we love, because we love our own bodies. And he was echoing this. Then he quotes the verse in verse 31 of Ephesians 5. He says, "For this reason, man will leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." Be joined and learn how to get the keys to get in, to get close and lock it in. And anyone who's trying to separate that connection, you need to lock them out of the relationship. Sometimes there's other voices that try to disconnect your relationship. Maybe a need of a close friend, maybe the need of a family member, that they are missing that person from being in their circle and don't think there's enough room. Don't let that happen. And 2C is when connection is the goal, listening is a priority. Sometimes, I'll just confess, sometimes I have the ability to listen, but not really listen. I can just tell her back exactly what she said, but I really wasn't really super paying attention. You know what I mean? I'm already formulating my response in my head. And I can say what she said, but I wasn't listening. So I made one of my goals to my staff, as I said, I'm committing to be a better listener this year. To my staff, to Pastor Andrew and Nathan, and to all the people I work with, that I really am trying to hear better and just not just push your opinions or your fix-it plan. Guys, aren't we all fixers? We want to fix it. I just want to connect better. So I'm committing to connect better, and I hope you can make that commitment with me, that all the relationships you're with, spiritual family and physical family, get to be better and more quality. Because really, when connection's the goal, I want to hear what's in your heart. I want to hear your dreams. I want to hear what makes you happy and what makes you sad. I really want to hear, and that's not just from what they're hearing. It's really connecting, watching how someone says something, what they're passionate about. And even drawing that out of a person, when I know what they're passionate about, I can ask questions to get more out. So listening takes on a whole different, when connecting is the goal, listening is, it's easier. And you know, James 1:19 says, "Understand this, my beloved, let every man be quick to hear and ready, and a ready listener, slow to speak and slow to take offense and to get angry." Some things you're hearing, you don't like to hear, but still we get to listen. And if the goal is connection, it's okay to listen to things that kind of tweak you, make you a little upset. It's okay. I can do that if I know my goal is to be connected. I'm not going to speak up so quick. You get it? So be a better listener. Don't just say anything that comes to your head. And think a little before you respond to somebody's openness. Because sometimes some people are processors who really process on the table. They open up their heart and they're saying something, and even they don't think what they said was super intelligent or it's really going to be like concrete. But they process that way. They throw it on the table, and if you always just throw it off the table and you comment quick, they'll stop throwing it up onto the table. They'll stop communicating. So be better listener. You'll be able to connect better. Just a few things for you. I hope you got something good out of that. Because God wants us all to be better connected with Him and with the people that He's privileged us to be in family, even those that you don't feel so privileged and they're in your circle. Trust me, things change. And people in your little circles, sometimes things shift in their life. If you will love them and you will help push the fear out of the circle to your degree. Joseph told his brothers, he told them, "It's okay. You threw me in a pit. He's the head of the whole thing," and he could have just had him tore up, you know? He could have it just, but he said, "It's okay. God meant it for good in my life. I'm okay with that." And he released perfect love, and Joseph was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. Look at it. He went to the pit. He went to the prison. prison, he went to the palace. It's all over in the story. Jesus is all over that story. And now we get to bring and release that Jesus love on people. So let your perfect love cast out the fear. You say, I don't have perfect love. Jesus does, and he'll give you the grace through his covenant. If you'll walk close with him and you'll embrace him, he'll empower you to do that in every single degree of relationship. Are you with me? And with that, we're empowered. You are empowered to be the most fulfilled, because family is fulfilling. And when we get to heaven, we'll remember family and we'll remember relationships. You won't have any stuff. There's no assets, nothing like that. But we'll remember family and we'll remember relationships. And if you read the scriptures, what it points towards, we will know each other in heaven. That we keep for eternity. So embrace and love family. And if you're not, it probably means you're hurt. So get through that. And if you need to get sozoed, set an appointment up and get sozoed. But embrace family, because it's really good. Would you stand to your feet with me? I'm sorry I took you a little bit over here. I just want to bless you. Yeah, there's declarations on the back. I'm sorry, I should have got to that. But please read those declarations, and there's some action items to help you, practicals. If you need some practicals, I threw a couple on the back of the outline so you can just have a little bit of things to help, a little homework to help you kind of take this and apply it. Thank you. And thank you to those who staff, even during the Super Bowl, that third service, those of you who are serving, who come back, thank you. Thank you for making that commitment, because some people can't come unless they come tonight. They're working and they can't be here. So thank you for those of you who make that commitment to serve. TiVo, it's your keyword there for you. Go watch it after, whatever you call it. Yeah. DVR, yeah. Record it. Whatever you do that, you know, do it. But I just want to bless you. I just thank you, God, that we are those. We are empowered by you. You are the relational God. You are the restorer. We are empowered to have the best marriages, to have the best relationship, to have the best friends, to have the best church, to have the best church family, physical family. And even when there's craziness, you've empowered us to put boundaries up, even to the crazy cousin or whoever it is. You've empowered us, and we are blessed. I thank you, God, that we are your people, that we carry you into all those relationships. I pray today there'd be life-changing shifts, that you've given them tools that totally change the game. I thank you that there's been new goals set in relationships. I thank you, God, that there's new ways of communication, that I just thank you, God, for what you've laid out today. And I pray this would really be the seeds that get pushed in, the word that bears fruit, not the one that gets stolen tomorrow or the next day. We thank you and we honor you and we love you. In Jesus' name, as somebody said, amen. God bless you. Have a good day.